ohms and 600 ohms. So those devices allow not only to voice to have a voice communication, but also controlling if everything is okay, so there is no blackout. And they were used. I was talking about impedance matching, but the funny thing is that we didn't get there with 50 hertz or 60 hertz. Depends where we are in the world, which is the frequency of the power. Power, electrical power line, enter a field.
So you're off in the weeds again, but I think I'm following your trail. You're talking about devices that will allow you to communicate, regular folks like us to communicate over the AC power lines. And it appears like it's not only possible, but it's allowed. Am I missing something, or is that the case?
No, those devices are commercially used. So the same company who made the SWR power meter switched then to the production of the devices that could be utilized in the power lines for the electrical company. So that was the story. So I gave all of the story about not only the ham radio device made by them, which is a piece of art, absolutely amazing he made, but also about their line of products. And they were doing it for, well, kind of 50 years, successfully. And I decided to buy this device because I'm experimenting with very low frequency on a ham radio band, but also with very much unusual forms of communication. So instead of electromagnetic waves being exposed to the inverse square law with normal propagation, that communication is being done in the interface. And one of the interfaces that was invented by the Gobo in 1956 was called the G-line. There was a wire, single wire, and that single wire could send hundreds of watts from point A to point B. One of the ham radio operators used a frequency of 144 megahertz to make the experiment with the G line. Then the second way of doing the experiment is simply having a long, 200 feet long aluminum foil. Would be a few inches wide, and you're going to have a receiving station from one side, a transmitting station from the other side, and you're going to have a communication on it. Or you can send the power over one single wire. So that's actually the same process. Thank you.
So I understand that the utility companies most probably are still using this over the power network communications. But if I understood it correctly, it's also available to ham operators, and actually there's unlicensed frequencies to use on that. Also, am I correct, or am I being misled somewhere?
The only difference between that what utility companies are doing and ham radio operation is that they are working on very much lower frequencies than we are. So there is a ham radio band 137 kilohertz, if I remember correctly. There is another one, 70.6 kilohertz. And there is another one, this one is out of regulation, so you could use this 9.3 kilohertz. So if you decide that the want to have a signal sent from one utility company to the other through the 500 kilovolts, the utility line, electrical utility line, it does have three wires and can still have a communication, but you have extreme voltage. You still need to match the impedance from the device that is in one station to the device that is in the other station. that could be used for voice communication, that could be used also for the controlling devices. There is one catch there. Whatever the frequency of communication they use, let's say a few hundred kilohertz, this frequency cannot disturb operation of the transformer. So that they have installed a hanging on the power lines a huge coil called trap. The trap is tuned to 50 hertz or 60 hertz, and is actually not allowing that signal, additional signal, to disturb operation of the power line. So either way, when we're talking about ham radio and we're talking about the commercial use of it, we still have a communication and we still use a signal for it. The only difference probably is that ham radio operation uses a wireless and they use wired connection. My course of experimenting for years is communication through the interface. Actually, it is a waveguide, but it's a special form of the waveguide. Typically, waveguide is like a pipe, or could be a rectangular pipe that has a hole in it. But also, there are different types of waveguides. Some waveguides don't have any hole. It's like a rigid, rectangular piece of material. And that is also working with electromagnetic waves. Another one is flat. It's simply flat. It has to have two components. One is conducting medium, and the other one is dielectric medium. And because those two are one on the top of each other, then the space that is between them is actually none. So that is being called two-dimensional space. And then you are able to send electromagnetic waves to the two-dimensional space between the two. Fortunately to us, if we have a foil that is long for 200 feet, or maybe a mile, that's the conductive medium, and the other one is air. Air is a dielectric. So now we have a condition at which you have... You can actually have this kind of a waveguide working, and that's where waveguide is the most interesting. So that's what I'm actually expanding.
It's a little over my head, but it's an interesting concept. We use the air to spread all sorts of signal. Why can't we use the copper pipe wire that comes to our house? I like it. It's very intriguing.
Well, actually, what is strange is the electromagnetic wave is not present in the air. In other words, there is no inverse square law. Inverse square law doesn't apply to waveguides. Of course, in waveguides we have the losses, but not in the terms of inverse square law. If you are able, the G line was the simplest example of how we can use one wire to send the power of the one wire. That one wire covered with Teflon insulation created the waveguide, also two-dimensional waveguide, although it was circular waveguide, but it was actually wire covered with Teflon, right? So you didn't have a space between the two. You could have sent microwatts, you could send 100 watts to it. And it worked. So it's part of science. So if I have a foil, then I have air, and I'm able to feed the electromagnetic wave into it. It's not really like a coaxial cable, But it's the waveguide that works. That's why I purchased all of this equipment from made by Signal Attractors.
Well, I find it intriguing, but definitely over my head at the moment. Thanks for sharing some of that interesting stuff.
It's not really over the head. We try to not understand it, just make it. You take a 10-year-old boy and he could do it. Let's say we say to the boy, you want to have a light bulb of 200 watts 1 mile from here to give a light. But you have only one wire. And all you do is you connect that to the light bulb. And from the other side, you connect the transmitter. And you just explain him how to do it. Then you have a G-line of Mr. Gobo from 1956. It's in Wikipedia. Back to you.
So the G-line you're talking about is kind of like an enhanced ground connection. And you're sending the power, as it were, not only on that wire, but the wire is acting as the ground. Is that what you're saying?
Actually, it doesn't have anything to do with ground. It's a waveguide. That wire that is covered with insulation, but it's not the typical insulation, is dielectric. The wire is conducting, the electric is dielectric. That would make the flat or rectangular or the circular waveguide. So if you look at it, you see the wire. You don't see the waveguide, but it is the waveguide. The electromagnetic wave is not going through the wire, it's not going through the Teflon, it's going in the space between Teflon and the wire. Enter here.
So it sounds like something like that skin effect that they talk about for antennas. Am I in the right ballpark?
No, it's a little bit more theory involved, but we're not going to the theory. We're trying to keep it simple. You can have the Avraminko fork from one side, Avraminko fork from the other side, which would be two diodes connected to one single wire, and you have a communication, you have an energy sense. So in other words, you take two diodes, from one side twist them together and connect to the wire. Now you spread those two diodes so they don't touch each other, and then you connect the light bulb. From the other side, you connect the transmitter. That's another way of doing it. So, actually, everything is about sending energy from point A to B.
Interesting. All right, let's see if anybody else wants to chime in on anything. KD2VHD, listening.
Oh, it does look like somebody is listening. Maybe people are listening, but they don't want to talk. Right. Now, talking about the Ukraine, 2 weeks ago I was actually trying to was it 2 weeks ago? It was, no, that was last TechNet. I was trying to explain what's going on there. Do you understand that? Or you would like me to take your words?
I don't recall what you spoke of last week about it. I don't think we're getting the whole story there. I think there's an undercurrent of something going on there that we're not being told about. That's my feeling. Go ahead.
Well, the story was that we had a putsch. A Russian army had created some private armies. One of the private armies was made out of prisoners, former prisoners. So they went to the prisoners and they say, who wants to fight in Ukraine for Russia? If you survive and don't get kicked for 6 months, we give you freedom. So it doesn't matter how much of crime did you commit, everything is going to be forgotten. And they got quite a good army. Part of that army was in sent to Africa, Syria, and some other countries before the war, and thousands of them were here. So, and the head of it was also a former prisoner, Mr. Prigozhin. And Mr. Prigozhin was a billionaire because he was able, after he get out of the jail after 9 years, he was able to, from selling hot dogs, create a chain of restaurants, then get close to the government guys. And then he was given a contract to feed the army. And then he became a chief of the private mercenary group, which was 53,000. From that, those guys who were not killed, it was 25,000 left over. And he was fighting with Ukrainians. Okay. Then one day, which was Friday, so we took the Humphreys was Sunday. Friday evening, he decided to revolt. He got in conflict with the general from the official Russian army, with the chief of staff there. So he took about 8,000 of his mercenaries, and he left the front line and went to Rostov-on-Don, which is like 120 kilometers, say 85 miles border in Russian territory. He wanted to imprison those guys, and they left, they fled. So he was so angry, and he decided, I'm going to Moscow. So the 8,000 guys, heavily armed mercenary killers, went to Moscow. When they were about 200 kilometers far from Moscow, which is like another 150 miles, whatever, he was having a conversation with some officials who were calling him constantly. At the same time, six Russian military helicopters started to shoot at them, so they took them down. And one big Russian special airplane was also shot down by them. Russians decided that they wanna bulldoze the highway, making a trench on it so it would give them some time. And it was if they get to Moscow, they get Moscow, because there is no army in Moscow, everything is in front. And eventually there would be no longer Putin. The tragic story with that is not this mercenary and him, this group of people trying to take over the power of Russia, is that some time ago Russia gave the nuclear weapon to Belarus. Belarus is next to Russia, it's a small country. If Putin is no longer there, then nobody's controlling that nuclear weapon. And that weapon could be now in the position of Belarusian, and that they could try to terrorize the world. So that was actually the problem. But the president of Belarus decided to call Prigozhin, that mercenary, and he said, hey, listen, let's talk. Don't go to Moscow. I give you the place in Belarus, I give you the base, I give you everything, whatever, whatever. Of course, in this corrupt country, you should not trust anybody. just don't go there. And he was able to convince Prigozhin to stop. Prigozhin said, I'm coming back. So when I was talking to you to you guys on TechNet last week, we just heard that Prigozhin is no longer trying to take over the power in Russia, and it was kind of relief. But Americans didn't know that a nuclear weapon was about to be in the hands of some other guys who don't have any the savages, okay? And the future of America, or future of Europe, would be under the question. Back to you.
The story over there just keeps getting fishier and fishier. I don't believe most of what I hear about it. It doesn't add up, and it leaves out giant holes of a story that, I mean, we've been involved there since at least 2014, I believe. I was in trouble and not solving problems, but making problems. I'm not really buying much of the story coming out of there. It sounds wrong to me.
There are a few ways to look at it. What's wrong was right, or what's necessary. If United States of America didn't decide to intervene over there, we would have Russians in Poland and Russians trying to take over again countries around them. We would have a very difficult situation. So it's like President Biden didn't have a choice. If he didn't react, then it would be even worse. So he decided to react, but then he got trapped. And the trap is that once you decided to help and now you don't have results, the next election is not going to be yours. And President Biden is trying to be a president again. So he has to support Ukraine the same way, or maybe better than Europe is doing that. That's why billions of dollars are being sent there. Thank you.
So a whole bunch of years ago, probably, maybe 50 years ago, I wrote a report in school about the Cuban Missile Crisis and how Kennedy chased the Russians out of Cuba with the blockade, and the Russians were making provocative moves and they had missiles in Cuba. It's all true. All happened. What I didn't know at the time was that before the Russians put missiles into Cuba, we put nuclear missiles into Turkey aimed at Russia. And the Cuban missiles were just a response to that. Now that I've learned that, I'm very suspicious of the official story in many cases. The backstory that doesn't get told.
It looks like a tradition. It looks like history is trying to repeat itself. If America didn't react, then Russians could conquer Ukraine and they could put their nuclear weapon in Ukraine. And from that moment, Ukraine would never be able to regain independence. Now, talking about Ukraine, it's the largest country in Europe. It's about 1.5 size of Poland. Poland is not small over there. Larger than France. I'm not sure how about Scandinavian countries, but Ukraine has a very good soil, one of the unique soils. So, in other words, Ukraine could feed Europe and Africa, and still will have enough of crop left over for themselves. And not any country I know of has it. So they're in a lucky situation. Okay, so
that's an amazing piece of information. That's incredible. certainly doesn't bode well for being run over by tanks and trucks and such, messing that up, because that's huge, what you just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. So Russian decided last year, they started the regular war. I mean, they started the conflict in 2014 by annexation of Crimea, which is part of Ukraine, and then they start to occupy two regions, which is Donetsk and Lugansk. They are close to the Russian border. But the real war started at February 23rd of last year, when they crossed from that occupied Crimea with the army to Ukraine. At the same time, Belarus, that is from the other side, gave the territory to Russians, so the Russians from there, Belarus country territory, were able to attack from the other side. So it was a really difficult situation. And at that time, Ukrainians were only given the anti-tank missile launchers that were held in hand. They didn't have heavy artillery, or everything was kind of weak. And they were able to stop them. When the world saw that they stopped Russian and started to defeat Russian, and there was more Russian than Ukraine, and the Russian had all of the armory possible, and those guys with almost bare hands were able to stop them, then there was something. Europe started to help them. And America had not much choice. Yeah, let's help them. Obama didn't want it to give them the weaponry. But Bush decided, well, let's do it. And that let's do it actually made it impossible to get out of it. It's like going to Afghanistan and not able to get out of it for 20 years. You know, the thing is that we're dealing with a quite very much educated, civilized country. Maybe word civilized is improper to be used, but those people are really professional, educated, good people that could be a part of NATO or part of the European Union. If there was no Russia. So, that's the story. Back to you.
Definitely an interesting multi-layered problem over there. And I think we're only catching a little fraction of the nuances of the whole thing. But I think I'm tired, and my intellectual capacity is leaving me for the evening. Well, so you have... Have a good night. I'm going to sign off. Be well. Good night. KP2VHD. I'm going to be clear on your final.
Thank you very much. Actually, that was the longest conversation that I had on 2 meters for the past 6 years. I do thank you very much for your attention and to exchange. Have a good night.
Oh, no. You've talked longer than that. I've heard it myself.
What was that? When was that? 6 years ago, KC2WGB died. Right? So, from that I was almost never on radio. I was only on TechNet.
Oh, that's what I meant. Sometimes you own the TechNet. That's what I was referring to.
I'm just lucky. I have a friend, Dr. Roy, amazing person, absolutely amazing brain, and I'm trying to spend the rest of my time doing something that makes me smile. That's why I'm on the TechNet. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Very good. Good night. I'll be clear.
QVL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 1:55 a.m. Mostly cloudy. Temperature 75 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 4:55 a.m. Mostly cloudy. Temperature 73 degrees.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 5:01 a.m. Mostly cloudy. Temperature 73 degrees.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 6 a.m. Mostly sunny. Temperature 72 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
Here's N2DQI, Paul Mount Vernon, New York. Good morning, everybody. Have a happy holiday. Am I making a repeater okay? Does anybody copy?
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7 a.m. Sunny temperature 74 degrees.
W2VL repeater.
Good morning. The time is 7:55 a.m. Partly sunny. Temperature 76 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Thank you.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WKP, who do we have out there on this beautiful day? NE2 WEC, NE2 WKP.
W2 OSR, mobile.
And how are you doing, young man? Forgot your first name, but it's Freddie here in Long Beach, NE2 WKP.
Hi, Fred. Bob, W2OSR.
Yes, sir, Bob. You know that memory isn't exactly what it used to be. What could I tell you? But, how's it been? I hope everything's well.
Not too bad. I just keep getting older. And more and more parts of me start to fall off. Other than that, okay.
The harsh reality of getting older. What are we going to do? There's no alternative, so we've got to accept it and do the best we can.
Yep. But, finding I spend more time in front of medical professionals these days. Oh, well. Again, that I got my wife going in for knee replacement in another week or so. House husband or something like that for about a month.
Bob, are you a great distance from the machine? I had a little trouble hearing that last transmission.
Okay, there's one intersection I go through here near CW Post College, and I know that's not the greatest signal area.
Gotcha. Yeah, your audio just came back up.
Yeah, it's a major intersection and lots of electric lines, and I think they kind of suppressed the signal a little.
Yeah, it was for there for a short.
Yeah, wherever you are, you're popping in and out a little bit too.
Yeah, 100%, Bob. I'm on an HT walking around Long Beach.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think it's easier to walk around Long Beach than it is to drive.
Actually, you know what? Now it's not really bad. It's only when going to the beach or home. Other than that, it's really not bad at all.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know, just so you're not a resident, I'm trying to find some parking pretty hard down there.
Yeah, where I live, my house is, we have no problem with parking at all. But, you know, in certain places, there are problems.
Yeah, this most of the good real estate by the water. Somebody built an apartment house on.
Yeah, they built two new big high-rises here, right on the ocean. Look nice. I don't think it's going to affect Long Beach anymore or not. Right now, we're still pretty open. You know, it's not at all.
Yeah, I haven't been down there that much, maybe once or twice. I live in the city on the North Shore, and it's a sunny Glen Cove. And they're starting to do some of that stuff up near me, too.
Yeah, we can't stop the progress. There's too much money for people to be made on waterfront property.
Yeah, well, we had, we have a little inlet, and, for years it was kind of a dumpy area. As a matter of fact, one of the worst brownfield sites on Long Island. There was a manufacturer down there that was making tungsten, and apparently there were 80 radioactive materials mixed in with the tungsten ore, so it got contaminated. They pulled that all out of there, and now we've got one, two, three, four. They put up 5 apartment buildings, and they are expected to be putting up about 6 more.
Yeah, well, I guess that's out of our control, so we have to accept whatever they do.
Yeah, I think our politicians probably love it because the taxes come from that complex is going to be over $1 billion a year.
Yeah, but it makes stealing a lot easier, Bob. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think the biggest joke up here is when Tom Suozzi was our mayor, they found money from the federal government to put up a ferry terminal. And the ferry terminal's been there about 10 years. I think 2 ferries ever ran out of the terminal the whole time it's been there.
Yep, that's the way it goes. Bob, stand by. I'll be back in a few minutes. I just got to run into a store here. This is N2WKP.
Okay, I'm going into a bad area again, so it may work out just right.
N2WKP back. Bob, are you still there? WKP, who do we have by the machine today?
Peter.
Good afternoon. The time is 1:55 p.m. Temperature 88 degrees.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.